Going to Romans chapter 12. I'm not sure we can understand verses 6 through 8 without understanding verses 1 through 5. So we're going to read verses 1 through 8. Again, I'm reading from the older edition of the NIV. My newer edition, I left at church. So, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him or her encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him or her give generously. If it is leadership, let him or her govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Using every gift of the Spirit to glorify God. And in parentheses, I just attached doing my part. Doing my part. God is worthy of our singing. God is worthy of our praise. God is worthy of our corporate gatherings in this building that magnifies God's grace. But we are called for something more than these. We are being called to a life of worship in our everyday living. We are being challenged to live a consecrated. We have been set aside by God. God said to Jeremiah in 1 verse 5, he says, before you entered your mother's womb, I knew you. Not only did I know you, but I have appointed you for a specific work. Each of us has a specific task to do. If New Joy is going to be all that God intended New Joy to be, if Concord Community is going to be all that God has called her to be, each person called, set aside, and as we're going to see, given specific gifts to make it happen. And as we're going to see, we see this comparison of the body. And we've all had experiences where we have hurt or part of the body was not functioning, and how it affected the other part. Pastor Forney just talked about breathing. And when my wife comes through her journey, she will have a better understanding of breathing. As someone born with asthma, I have a particular understanding of breathing, something that most other folks just take for granted. But you see, when those lungs shut down, when you come through, you have a whole new perspective of breathing. And your mind, your heart, and everything else gets affected. When you don't do your part, when we don't do our part, the body suffers. And we cannot use an excuse, I don't have anything to do. God will not put you as part of his body without also giving you a part to play. The issue is not God's failure. The issue is ours. The issue is ours. And we, 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into the Lord's likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. The purpose of transformation, the purpose of becoming more like Christ each and every day, is that we may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. If it wasn't Forney stepping all on the sermon, my sister got up here stepping all on the sermon. You see, I love to hear folks talk about what they said they would not do. I love it, because then I'm just waiting on the but. But by the time the Spirit got through working with her, what she did not want to do, she says, can't nobody stop her now. It's almost like she's running around like this. I love it. Everybody has the same giftedness for one thing or another as part of not only the local body, but God's larger church. I love it. I'm a past athlete. And I remember we got a new coach our junior year. And he lined everybody up. The line, quarterback, halfbacks, wide receivers. And he took the line and told them to turn around. He says, now, if Roland gets tackled behind the line of scrimmage, that means one of you all didn't do what you were supposed to do, what you are gifted to do, but didn't do it. Either because you didn't practice hard enough, you don't believe in yourself enough, but you didn't do. And we went through the season and we were winning and our running backs, our heads were getting big. And little to our knowledge, the coach had told the line, do not block today. And we as running backs got beat up all practice long to the point we were fussing. And coach finally said, now maybe you will appreciate what they do. Because without them, you have no success. And that has always stuck with me to understand CCBC cannot be all that they should be just resting on me. Need some associates, need some leaders, need fellowship to all work together. The same here at New Joy. A lot of what we have failed to do is not because God has not wanted us to do it, but you see, God wants all of us to participate. To do my part. Using every gift of the Spirit to glorify God, doing my part. Says I have to make a right assessment of myself. I hope you hear me. Make a right assessment of myself. You see, there were some problems in the Roman church. Some of their problems are familiar to us because we're having the same problems today. Paul is saying there are no big I's and little U's. Oh, they was having problems because everybody wanted to prophesy. Everybody wanted to heal. Everybody wanted to speak in tongues. Where is the mercy? Where is the encouragement? Well, that's not for me to do. That's for y'all to do. And the greater the gift, in their minds, the greater the person. We're having that same problem today, but I'm going to move on. But the path to unity is humility. Service. I make sure that CCBC understands I am not going to do all the work. I hope you understand me. I am not going to do all the work. And I've had pastors talk about, why don't you do this and do that? When God sends, or those who are gifted by God accepts that responsibility, then we will do it. Until then, we will not. Do your part. No little part, no big part, just do your part. And you will find joy, you will find peace, you will find all ways to praise and give God thanks. Listen to Ephesians chapter 2, 4 through 8, a familiar passage. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But, Concord knows, I love these little three-letter words. They carry a lot of strength. But he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. In Matthew, he simply says, I did not come to be saved, served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. Took on the nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. The giftedness that was invested in him, he understood leadership. He understood, I've got 3 years to make disciples of these men. I've got to prepare them. 3 years. One of the worst things I hate to see in congregational life is for leadership to die, get sick, or whatever, and there's nobody in place to carry on. That says something to me about the mindset of that leader, of thinking I'm going to be here forever. Or they may be saying, if I'm not here, the church just won't function. But that's not a biblical mindset. I say to the associates that we must be praying now for our Joshua. I would hate for something to happen to me and Concord fall apart. Inward fighting, hatred. Folks who claim to love one another are now at odds simply because Pastor was resigning and I was a moderator. When we were in the Northwest Creek District, and I had a meeting with the leaders. And I simply asked him, who's going to lead now until the new pastor is called? Some of these leaders have been at this church over 20 years. They looking at one another, looking at me, and finally I said, wait a minute. Y'all don't know who is going to lead? Nope. The pastor always did. Wow. So nobody in this church has gifts other than the pastor? Let me move on, because it got a little tense. No eyes and big, no big eyes and little U's, the path to unity. No Christ follower is excluded. I hope you hear me. I hope you hear me. No Christ follower is excluded. If you have been saved, if you have been called, if you have been led to a particular congregation, you are coming to that congregation already gifted. Nobody can pray a gift on you. You already have the gift. You already have what's needed to help join in with others who are gifted. Everyone has at least one gift. Some have more than one. And those that have more than one sometimes wishing they just had one. It says, but they are given by the measure of faith. See, we all have different spiritual capacities. God is not going to put on you more than you can handle, more than it is comfortable for you to work within the framework of congregational life or outside the congregation. Spiritual gifts are a distribution by God. I hope you hear me. A distribution by God. I wanted somebody to say, God knows each one of us. He knows our weaknesses, but he also knows our strengths. And God gifts us accordingly. Some of us have a desire to grow, to be more like Christ, while others are comfortable wearing out the seats in the sanctuary. And if we never have to do that, that's fine with me. So according to God's grace and faith, each of us has been gifted. These gifts are to serve and build up one another. I hope you hear me. To serve and to build up one another. If we cannot work with one another within the congregational life, how are we going to work outside? How are we going to love folks? If we cannot love one another inwardly. It says to build up one another, not as a means of building up our own names and stature. I come up during a time when times were difficult. And I've got sisters present who can okay what I'm saying. There were times when my mother did not eat to make sure that her children had enough to eat. I don't know what you call that. I've never had to do that. But I interpreted that as being love of the utmost. Knowing that she was hungry, but yet love for her children was greater than her desire to meet her own need. What if the body of Christ had this type of mindset where we were willing to go without for the good, for the betterment of another brother or sister in Christ? And the effect that that would have upon them when they are called upon to do the same for someone else. Make a right assessment of self. I need to finish up. Then manage spiritual giftedness as God intended. Let us be perfectly clear. When we speak of corporate life, our faith in Jesus Christ alone is personal, but it is not individualistic. We have been called to love one another, to use our giftedness for the good of the whole body, understanding that the body cannot be all if all of its members are not working together. We've all worked, and we understand what a lazy co-worker can do to an office. To someone who all they've got their mind on is climbing up the corporate ladder and will do whatever it takes to get there. And if it means stepping on you, if it means telling on you when you are 2 minutes late, what that could do to the atmosphere of the office, the same. In the body. The same in the body. CCBC is very familiar with Ephesians 4:16. From Christ, hope you hear this, a new joy. From Christ, the whole body joined and held together. It doesn't say by the pastor. It does not say by the pastor and the pastor's wife. Doesn't say the pastor and the deacons. From Christ, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work as each part does its work. So if New Joy is not growing, if New Joy is not active as a whole, maybe each person ought to ask themselves, am I doing my part? Maybe we need to back up. Am I praying to get God's revelation of my giftedness so I can do my part? May have to have a class, seminar on giftedness to help and assist folks understand. Because everyone who joins or comes to CCBC must go through new members, and the part of the new members class that's the longest is 6 to 8 weeks on giftedness. Because by the time we finish, I want to make sure you understand I am not doing it all. I'm helping myself by helping you. That's smart, ain't it? Yeah. Help you with your giftedness, then that relieves me of some work. Smart, ain't it, CJ? Let me move on and finish. Again, as we've said, verses 4 and 5 deals with diversity. Each member is unique. Each member is unique. Each member is important. Did you know that you are important? Did you know that? But you are important. You are a member of New Joy. Did you know you are important? You're a member of CCBC. You are important. Because we are one body in Christ. And our spiritual unity is established by our relationship with Christ. Our spiritual unity. Spiritual unity is established by our relationship with Christ. So when we come to the spiritual gifts, much can be said about the spiritual gift. Much can be argued about the spiritual gift. But basically, the spiritual gift, these are special gifts of grace. God's favor. God looked upon us even when we didn't want to have anything to do with God. I hope you hear me. God was waiting because God knew that he was going to catch up with you sooner or later. See? Given by God to God's people to meet the needs of the body. To meet the needs of the body. There are several lists. We're going to stick with Romans. Romans 12, 6 through 8, 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10, and verse 28. 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. We will have gifts stated in different ways. Prophesy. Again, bring up the subject of prophesying and you're bringing up a whirlwind of trouble. Because everybody and the grandmother has a definition or the means of what it says. Simply a message imparted to a cross follower by the Holy Spirit, either for prediction or indicative of the will of God in a given situation. I'm moving on. Serving. Practical help. See? How many times that we recognize somebody in need and what we do is we tell them, I'll pray for you. Is that what we do? That person standing on the corner, look at him, Lord help him, and drive on off. We have needs in the midst of the congregation and we don't address them. It says practical help for those in need. Teaching. Everybody does not have the gift of teaching. Repeat that real quick. Everybody does not have the gift of teaching. Those who have pastoral care, for God's people will naturally provide food from the scriptures and meaningful application of said biblical truths to life situations. 1 Timothy 3:2 just simply says, now the overseer must be able to teach. Must be able to teach. But not only the pastor, not only the overseer, but if I am in a leadership position, I must be able to teach. Encouraging, exhorting others with an uplifting, cheerful call to worthwhile accomplishment. When's the last time you encouraged someone? In teaching, Christ's followers are shown what they must do. But encouragement comes when they are assisting in doing it. Living a life of Christ is not an easy way to go. Because I've got to go some places I don't want to go. I've got to do some things I don't want to do. I've got to meet some folks I don't want to meet. But somebody with this gift of encouragement can come alongside and say a few cheerful words. Can come along and say, you can do it. Contributing, giving what is one's own, or distributing what has been given by us. Make a note. Not everything given to us by God is for our own personal use. I didn't get no amen on that one. I mean, not a one. Quiet as church mice on that. Everybody went to sleep. Not everything given to us by God is for our own personal use. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Bradford. Brother. God blesses us to be a blessing for others. It said of the Bereans, they were the poorest, but yet they gave the most. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be a great appetite for a new joy and for a CCBC? They may have been the poorest, but they gave the most. Because they had this spirit of contributing. Leadership. Again, all who are responsible for the spiritual growth and discipleship of fellowship. This is what I say, somebody has to be crazy to want to be a pastor. Because as a pastor, Richard Forney has to give an account to God for the entire New Joy Fellowship. Whether he likes it, whether he accepts it, that is the way it is. He's got to give an account to God. And somebody wants to be a pastor and got that kind of responsibility. Lay leaders, auxiliaries and small groups, deacons, small groups, of the membership, hospital visitation with their wives, home visitation. Prepare future leaders. If you are in a leadership position and you are not spending time, if you are not spending time asking, begging, pleading with God about who the next person will be, then you are a proud and useless leader. I hope you hear me. Not only does the pastor be praying, but you ought to be praying as the leader. For the next president of the ushers, for the next whomever the leader is, the music ministry leader, whoever that is. Because that person needs to be in training while you are yet in the position. Because if something happens to you all of a sudden, then that group can continue to move on because the person who has already been in training can step up. We don't think like that. In my position, and I just do with it as I please. Never even thinking about my time may be about to expire. My health may fail. Mercy is the last one in Romans. Caring for the sick, the poor, the aged. This is one of the greatest faults in congregational living today. It's taking care of senior adults. The church has become just like society. What have you done for me lately? And when these senior adults begin to wear out, we push them to the side. So focused upon the young, so focused upon the young adult, so focused upon the middle adult, that we just displace them. And I never fully understood it until I became the coordinator of the senior adult ministry. And one of the ladies simply said, I'm not sure the church understands my condition. And I'm thinking, you look physically fit to me. I am losing people in my circle every day, it seems like. And I am on the verge for the first time in my life of being alone. And that just rocked my brain. Because at 40, my circle is full. Some folks in my circle, I want to kick out. But they are losing. Who do they turn to? Who's there to help them, to minister to them, to comfort them, to tell them you are not alone? But that's what we've got to do better in ministering to these senior adults. Ministering with delight and not a chore. You see, because that's why God brought his congregational life together. That everyone who has a need can find it within the relationship. But that's us. That's us. Just going to share, and I'm through. various ministries where giftedness has already been established in the church, but yet the ministries have not. Nursery, children's work, youth work, young adults, middle adults, and we just talked about these senior adults, Christian education, music, maintenance, sports, premarital, divorce. Yes, it's unbiblical, but yet it's happening, and we must deal with it. And there are folks who are gifted, poor and the homeless, juvenile detention, those in jails, those in prison, reintegration of bringing them in. Food and clothing pantry, celebrate recovery to deal with hurt habits and hang-ups. These are all ministries that can take place inside or outside of congregational living by Christ followers who are gifted, gifted by God. Using God's spiritual gifts for God's glory. Am I doing my part? Am I doing my part? Do I know what my giftedness is? Jesus understood it to a T. 12 years old. Says to his mother, "Don't you know I've got to be about my father's business? And this business is going to be gathering 12 men. I'm going to have to deal with Peter for 3 years. I'm going to have to deal with a Judas. I'm going to have to deal with James and John. But you see, God had gifted him with leadership, gifted him with mercy, gifted him with generosity. And when they ask if you go to Jerusalem, they're going to kill you. He said, "But I must. For this reason, I have come. For this reason I have come." And that's why even in the midst of his suffering, as they beat him, spit on him, put a crown of thorns on his head, it says he said not a word. Because his giftedness had brought him here, and his giftedness would take him further as they forced him to carry his dying tool, as they stretched him out on his dying tool. We see mercy as he looked down upon those who were taunting him, and in terminology we would understand, cursing at him, but yet, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." As he looked at his mother, his heart aching for her mercy. "John, behold thy mother. Woman, behold thy son." Exercising spiritual gifts even from the cross for the good of others. He hears behind him, "One, if you're so great, why don't you take us down from here. But yet he hears. But this is no longer just an echo. It is a shout. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. This day you shall be with me in paradise. Live the life of giftedness. Die using and expressing his giftedness. Bury in a borrowed tomb. Oh, but early. Early Sunday morning he rose with all power. And as he prepared to depart, says, I won't leave you as orphans, but I want you to stay here until the Holy Spirit comes. And the Holy Spirit will give you power, and you shall be my witnesses. Oh, I hope you hear me. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Samaria. In Judea, unto the uttermost parts of the world. I went to Africa so I could come back and tell folks who have been called to be missionaries. Because my heart ached when we got off the plane. And those brothers and sisters in Gambia were shouting, where are the brothers? 46 of us got off that plane. There was only 4 people that looked like me. And they're asking, where are the brothers? Don't they care about us? There are some folks who are gifted, who have been called by God to go. But they've heard too much of I ain't lost nothing in Africa. And no matter what God says, they won't go. But I'm still believing. Using our spiritual giftedness to the glory of God. Am I doing my part? There may be someone here who have heard the word of God, who's outside of the will of God, whose desire within is burning to become a part of God's family. But the desire of evil seems greater right now. But I'm going to ask every child of God to pray. If there's someone here, that the Spirit of God will be greater in that person than the spirit of evil who's trying to influence that person to be still. And that they will come forth, give their life to Christ. Through the help of the body of Christ, enjoy in learning their giftedness, learning what their purpose in being saved is all about. Pray for them.